Greetings, dear friends, in that ever precious name, even the name that's precious to God the Father, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To have a false view about Him is to have a wrong view about everything else throughout the universe. For the child of God to have a poor apprehension or a poor appreciation of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be a poverty-stricken believer. To be off-center to Christ is to have the whole world out of focus. To be off-key to the Lord Jesus is to have the whole world out of tune. If it's convenient, turn with me in your Bible to Colossians chapter 2. We will begin reading at verse 9 and go through verse 13 for our consideration today. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. May the Lord bless this portion of His Word. We looked at verses 9 and 10 last week, so we'll only touch that today and then go into these next three verses. But I want to read it again, this time from the New International Version. Listen carefully. Again, Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And you have this fullness in Christ, who is the head of over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of your sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. In baptism you were buried with Him and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. How precious is the truth contained in these verses. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but 78 of the 95 verses found in the book of Colossians are similar to those that we find in Ephesians. I repeat that now for your information. There are 95 verses in total in this book of Colossians. 78 of these 95 verses are similar to verses that we find in the book of Ephesians. The book of Colossians deals with Christ and the church, and the emphasis is upon our being with Christ and in Christ. And that's exactly what we read in verse 9 of Colossians 2. And we'll see some of the similarity in this passage today. But again, in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, He is the exact likeness from the mold of God. Referring back to Colossians 1:14, or 15 it is, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And our Lord Jesus Christ has in Him the total effulgence of the Godhead. He is the visible expression of the invisible God. And as we noted in our last broadcast, ye are complete in Him. Have you stopped today, child of God, to thank the Lord Jesus for all that we have in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ? He who is the exact likeness from the mold of God, He who is the visible manifestation of the invisible unseen God, tells us that because we are now in Christ, we are complete in Him. We have all that we could ever possibly need in the Lord Jesus. Everything that we need for life and godliness is found in him. Notice what it says, who is the head of all principality and power. God omnipotent, God supreme, God sovereign, the chief and only potentate, Lord of lords and King of kings, Paul told Timothy. This is the one in whom we find everything that we have for that we need for life and godliness. Spurgeon gives a good definition of our completeness, and here's the way he renders it. Complete without the aid of Jewish ceremony. Complete without the help of philosophy. Complete without the inventions of superstition. Complete without human merit. Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. How this should cause our hearts to sing forth in praise and adoration unto him who loved us and redeemed us by his grace through his own precious shed blood. This one in whom we are complete is the head of all principality and power. As we know, the Gnostics, we've mentioned this several times before, they were greatly taken up with the subject of angels. And mention of this is made later on in this chapter. But Christ is the head over all the angelic beings, and it would be absolutely ridiculous for us to be occupied with angels when we can have the creator of angels as the object of our affection. And listen to me, even enjoy communion with him. Think of that. Having communion, having fellowship, being in the presence and occupied with the God of creation, the one who made every angel, the one who made everything about us. What does it say there in verse 10? He is the head of all principality and all power. Everything is under his submission and under his control. Oh, there are rebels today. Perhaps you're one of them who to this point have rejected the grace and mercy of God. But in a coming day, everything will be placed under his control, under his directed will. Even those who are rejecting and denouncing and decrying him, in a coming day, they're going to bow with a knee and confess with a mouth, Jesus as Lord. But for the Christian, we can thank God that we have been made subject to him. And we have, as we find in the book of Romans, chapter 10, we have made confession with a mouth that Jesus is Lord. But let's press on. Verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made. Notice this now. This gives us a clue as to what the writer was speaking about as he wrote under inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. Ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. What a strange circumcision that is. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament and consider what circumcision was. It was simply the typical rite of Judaism. It was a minor surgical operation in which the knife was applied to the flesh of the male child. Spiritually, it signified death to the flesh, or a putting aside of the evil, corrupt, unregenerate nature of man. Unfortunately, the Jewish people, please note, they became occupied with the literal ceremony, but neglected its spiritual meaning. They neglected the spiritual significance of what God was trying to illustrate through this physical rite. In trying to achieve favor with God through ceremonies and good works, they were saying, in effect, that there was something in human flesh which could please God. Nothing, friend of mine, could be farther from the truth. The scripture says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And in this verse that is before us, Colossians 2 and 11, physical circumcision is not in view at all. It's just an object lesson. It's an illustration. Rather, that spiritual circumcision, which is true of everyone who has put his faith or her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, this is the thing that Paul wants us to consider. Paul, of course, as led by God the Holy Spirit when he wrote this letter to the believers at Colossae. This is clear from the expression that I emphasized when I read the verse earlier, the circumcision made without hands. Obviously, today, such an operation by a skilled surgeon requires the use of his hands. But what the verse is teaching is this: every believer is circumcised by the circumcision of Christ. What on earth is that talking about? Simply, the circumcision of Christ refers to his death on the cross of Calvary. The thought is that when the Lord Jesus died, the believer died also. First of all, he died to sin. And I want to share this with you, a truth that we find expressed in Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Likewise, reckon, or keep on reckoning, count as a fact, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Christ died, we died, and we have died to sin. Let us also look at a verse in Galatians and see there in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, that not only did we die to sin, but we died to law, the law of Moses, and to self. Galatians 2, verses 19 and 20. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, the apostle says. Why? That I might live unto Christ. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, hallelujah, what a truth. Nevertheless, I live. Dead with Christ, yes, but alive. And he goes on, yet it's not I, but it's Christ living in me. If you have gone all your life without realizing that once you are born again, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to live within your body, you have missed one of the greatest truths that you can ever come to appreciate as a Christian. Notice, it is Christ living in me. Friend, this is the dynamics of Christianity. This is the power of the gospel. This is the dynamite of Christianity. Christ lives in me. And he goes on, and the life which I now live in the flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is something that religion cannot do for you. This is something that only knowing Jesus Christ and having Jesus Christ can do for you. For me to live is Christ. Get it? Nevertheless, he says, it's not I, but Christ living in me. And I trust today that you have rejoiced in the fact that Jesus Christ does, by the Spirit of God, live in you. Know ye not, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Know ye not that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Friend of mine, that is the power, that is the ability that gives us the power to live the Christian life. One other verse, Galatians 6 and 14, which teaches us that we die to the world as well. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know what it means to be crucified? It means to be put to death. So these verses, Romans 6, Galatians 2, and Galatians 6, teach us that we are dead to sin, dead to the law, dead to self, and dead to the world. And this is the result of a circumcision made without hands, in the sense that human hands could have no part in it. Man cannot, man does not. It's impossible for him to earn salvation. It's done through the finished work and the resurrection work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Time is gone. I trust you know him, that he lives within you, and you live for his glory. Call us if we can be of any help.